And we are joined here in the studio by Ann Anderson and Edie Jessup from Locally Delicious. Oh, you know what? This microphone is what you'll talk into. Can I get you guys to slide over and put it
between this? Sure, sure.
And just out of curiosity, what is your master's in?
Cellular and molecular biology.
No way! That is my favorite kind of biology.
I love it.
why that?
Oh, I wanted to understand the molecular basis of learning and memory.
Real, so yeah. Like the neuroscience application?
Neuroscience, yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of that Krebs cycle, though.
I know.
Whenever I read about
Krebs
the
Krebs cycle. Oh, I loved Krebs cycle.
How about that Golgi apparatus, right? High five, Golgi apparatus.
High five.
All right. It's K-Hum Radio. I think that might be the first and only time the Golgi apparatus was high-fived.
Okay.
But we'll take it.
It deserves it.
So, Locally Delicious is where you guys work. Real quick, what is that? What is Locally Delicious?
Locally Delicious is a local nonprofit working to improve food security and food production and accessibility of food in the county, as well as looking at environmental impacts of food production.
So, in other words, how to do it right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Organic and local is kind of the word.
Yeah, it seems to be working pretty good. So Humboldt County Restaurant Week is actually not even a week. Let's start with that. It's 10 days.
Right. Yeah. It's 10 days.
But that doesn't fit on a poster very well.
No, it sounds better for a week.
Okay, so we're
laid back, so, we stretch it a little.
It's going to start a week from Friday, right? Or is it, it starts a week from Friday.
Mm-hmm. And goes till Sunday, the 5th of October.
And the idea here is to encourage people to get out and try local restaurants, maybe that they love or maybe some new ones. There are 31 participating, and you have 25 farmers who are spiritually and, I guess, foodly aligned. Can you talk about that connection?
Well, many of our restaurants already purchase from local farmers, and so this week we'll strengthen those relationships but also create new relationships. Our goal is that they would continue after Local Food Month so that it's another channel that our population can find local food and, again, increases our food security, our food production.
So, Edie, the idea here is that you want to just connect dots. Like, this restaurant makes salad. This guy in Mad River grows salad.
Yes.
Let's get them in a room together.
Yes. Right. And sometimes folks need to learn how to do that if they have been working with large corporate suppliers. And so this is a new learning both for the farmer and for the restaurant, but they can do it. And the food is so marvelous.
That's a good point. So if you were a restaurateur, you could very easily kind of dial your food up. You go to a website, say, send me a palette of that. And what you're doing is saying, no. You got these people right over here who are making awesome salad.
Yes.
Why don't you bring it in locally?
Yeah.
That's
a good
point.
It's going to be much fresher. It's going to be healthier. We're going to reduce the carbon footprint
right?
of our food and really provide some food security to our very rural county.
We'll talk about food security, but I think the point really can't be made emphatically enough. Food grown in the Central Valley, like, I'm using lowercase f with food. Like, the amount of sort of conventional pesticide use on conventional crops is there's a lot. We'll just say that. Mm-hmm. And when you have the option of something that not only doesn't have that, but also tastes better and also supports your neighborhood's economy, why wouldn't you? Okay,
yes.
I'm getting off my soapbox now.
Okay, but that's a good soapbox for Restaurant Week. Come out and try it.
So, again, it's going to be the 26th is day one. It's two weekends. So it starts on Friday the 26th and then Saturday and then all through the next week right into October. And you've got 31 restaurants participating from Garberville to Trinidad. On the affordability scale, what's the spectrum we're looking at here?
Well, one of the restaurants is providing a lunch for $5.50. That's the low end so far.
Who's that?
That's the Old Town Coffee and Chocolates.
Oh, cool.
In Eureka. And up to $30 at some of the higher end restaurants like the Benbow Inn and Moonstone and the VI restaurant in Ferndale. I can't name them all. There's just a lot of them. You can go to the website to see the whole list. But we have a spectrum from $5 to $30 and just about every number in between.
Now, the problem with the Humboldt Restaurant Week website is that it has a very difficult-to-remember URL.
Yes, it's HumboldtRestaurantWeek.com.
You guys should get a pen. We're going to have to say that again. It's complicated. HumboldtRestaurantWeek.com.
Yes.
You scored with that.
Yeah.
It's good to get the exact domain name that you want.
Right. If you get it slightly wrong, there are some variations that'll still get you there.
It'll go, what you mean? Okay, Anne and then Edie, and I will not accept or tolerate any of these I love all my children equally answers. There will be none of that. Anne, what is your favorite restaurant that's participating?
Oh, my gosh. All the ones I don't say are going to kill me.
Well, again, they know that I will not allow any of this I love all my children equally stuff.
Okay.
That's not allowed.
Okay.
And I will throw you right out of here if you try that.
All right. Okay. Well, one that I do like very much, and I haven't tried all of them, but I like Folie Douce very much.
Mm. There we go. Nicely done. And Edie?
Oh, I'm going to go for Pechanga.
Oh, I love Pechanga. Nice. Well played, you guys. Now we can say we love all our children.
We love
all the restaurants.
Yes,
all
right.
They're all excellent. And again, the list is over at HumboldtRestaurantWeek.com. So will chefs be stretching their legs for this thing? I keep hearing that they're going to roll out some kind of unique dishes.
Yeah, they will all prepare a special menu. It's a fixed price, so it doesn't include the beverage or tax, but it'll be a complete meal. And they have to have a significant component of local food or they can't participate.
Yeah, what is that? The prime ingredient has to be local.
Mm-hmm.
Like they might have feta cheese from France, but as long as the steak that it's going on is Humboldt grass fed, then it's good to go.
That'd be fine. Yeah. Although we'd much prefer they go to Cypress Grove or maybe Cannibal Island Creamery. Though the couple of local goat cheese places they could go to.
You've had that Cannibal Island stuff?
It's great.
It is.
Yeah.
They left some of that here, and I just chowed it. Yeah. You don't even need to put it on stuff.
Yeah. And they can use bread from many of our local bakers, one of which even uses grain from Southern Humboldt.
How is that going, by the way?
It's going great.
Yeah, because CR did a pilot project for what kind of grains would grow here, and then I guess that was a couple of years ago. Are the results of that in play now?
Yeah, they're commercial production of wheat and other grains here. People may not know it, but in the 20s, Humboldt County won all kinds of gold ribbons at the California State Fair for our grains.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good fact.
Yeah.
That's cool. What else are we good at that we don't know about?
Oh, well, we even grow walnuts and chestnuts.
You're kidding me.
Unusual things, yeah. And we have one of the biggest quinoa producers. In fact, I heard it might be the biggest quinoa producer in the country is out in Blue Lake.
Really?
Really?
Well, because I am going to reach into my bag here, and I'm going to show you what I brought for lunch today. Local quinoa.
Quinoa.
That's right. That's right.
Good for you.
Walking the talk. Don't mess with it, though, because it's got cheese on the top.
Okay, sorry.
I feel like I'm giving you an unfair hard time, given that I just met you guys. But you seem good for it.
Oh, yeah, we're cool.
Yes, thank you. All right. So in terms of food security, this is a big topic. But in the short term, California got a drought right now, right? We here in Humboldt seem to be not immune to it, obviously, but we benefit from a number of environmental factors that the Central Valley does not.
That's right.
So talk about food security and why it matters here.
It matters here as everywhere because of the economy, and we have so many people living below the poverty level, and therefore their health is impacted by what they have access to. The other part here in Humboldt County is that it is such a rural county, and so the importance of local food that can be grown here, that people can grow for themselves or that is close by being grown, really is the kind of thing that the Food Policy Council, Locally Delicious, is really highly interested in fixing that. The other thing is we have these great farmers markets, and they take EBT and actually do a market match so that people that are low income could really take advantage of our great produce and the farmers benefit from it. So it works here, and it's really an important thing.
It really is tremendous how well the pieces in the farmers market EBT chain work. I mean, you look at, there's so many instances of government where you go, you guys don't talk to each other? Like, you haven't worked this out? This is common sense. But in the food world, they really have.
They have.
They've done an excellent job. Now, if you're just tuning in, we've got Ann Anderson, who's a fan of cellular molecular biology. And we've got Edie Jessup. And we're talking about Humboldt County Restaurant Week, September 26th to October 5th. We've got just a few more minutes. But, Edie, you're on the Food Policy Council.
I am, as is Ann. I'm on the Food Policy Council, even though I'm fairly new to Humboldt County. I care a lot about it. I'm also on the California Food Policy Council, the State Food Policy Council, which is linking the far north to the rest of the food policy world. And we think that there are big environmental and policy changes that can help people eat better and eat locally.
Thank you for doing what I don't know what you're doing, but I'm pretty sure I would like it.
Yeah, you would.
So is that a statewide government body?
No, it's not a government body.
Okay.
It is local food policy councils working together on issues that can actually impact large numbers, like the EBT and market match thing.
And I'd say they started as a grassroots organization, so it's a place where you've got all the people that are involved in food in the same room, from county health departments and health and human services departments, farmers, grocery stores, et cetera. So it's a variety of kinds of people and organizations that are looking at the problem in a kind of a holistic way instead of just one little slice of it at a time.
Yes.
Well, I want to wrap it up with some local stuff, but before we move off of the state topic, since you are well-versed in this topic, again, we'll start with you, Anne. Actually, no, I'm going to start with you, Edie. Name a food that we should be growing more of in the state of California, because it makes sense. It's, you know, in terms of square foot of farmland, there's X, you know, there's a caloric benefit and it's nutritional benefit and it's not an environmental disaster. And then name a food that we should not be growing. So one that we should be growing more of and one that should we maybe not be doing in this area.
Well, beans would be a good example because they have so many nutrients and they're easily grown.
They fix that nitrogen.
Yeah, and I think that issue of the soil and how we keep growing things on land is something that has been missed, say, in the Central Valley, because of doing the same crop and doing a lot of pesticides and fertilizers and stuff. So beans are one. What we shouldn't be growing?
Cotton?
Cotton. Oh, we shouldn't be
We should not be growing cotton.
No.
Okay.
No.
I see you line feeding her, by the way.
We've got
a... she's like whispering answers. Okay, so no cotton, yes on beans. Also, when you talk about... You made a comment there. How to keep growing crops on land. Is this because we're losing farmland to salinization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and poor practices of trying to get a lot really fast, and then we ruin the land and the water and the air. All three are impacted tremendously by poor practices.
Ann Anderson, same question. What should we be growing more of, and what should we maybe not be growing?
Well, I gave her those answers, so what I'm going to say.
I could make a case that maybe we shouldn't be growing rice in the Central Valley, where you need 8 inches of water in 100-degree heat.
There's arguments about that as well. Sounds like we could go more quinoa. We've got a good start here. That's a very nutritious grain. Of course, all the fruits and vegetables, I mean, we should grow more and more of those.
And the food forest thing seems to be getting some momentum, too, in the permaculture world. Okay, so... I guess you'll share the answer then.
Yes, we'll share it.
Beans and cotton. All right,
beans
cool.
Beans and cotton.
Okay, so let's close it on a local note. Humboldt County eats about 10% of, 10% of what's on Humboldt's plate is generated here. You say that figure is a decade old and might need revisitation?
Absolutely. It was done as part of the planning process for the general plan about 10 years ago. So there's a group within the Humboldt Food Policy Council that's taking on the task of doing a new assessment to see where we are right now. The amount of specialty crop grows, if all the food that our farmers market, people grow, it's called specialty crops, and if you look at the ag reports, it's probably grown 5 or 6 times over the last maybe 10 or so years. So it's growing rapidly.
5 or 6 times over?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot.
So people are really getting into the farmer
game. We really are getting into it. So we need to do a new assessment to see where we are right now.
Well, that is super fascinating. All this to say, Humboldt County Restaurant Week is coming up on the 26th. It runs through October 5th. We here at KHUM are cooking up a scheme to get people out to it because it's such a great cause and it's so good for myriad reasons, economically, environmentally, security-wise. Just we need to dial this in a little bit better, and I want to thank you guys both so much for what you do and for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Before I let you go, does anybody have a favorite band? What kind of music do you guys like?
Oh, Tom Waits.
Tom Waits. Edie, I love you. Thank you. Anne?
Well, I'm a classical music fan, and I'm particularly fond of Rachmaninoff.
Really?
Rock?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Rock.
Well, I tell you what. We're going to do Tom Waits and Rachmaninoff together because why not? Thank you guys very much. What's your favorite piece? We'll start with Rachmaninoff. Sorry.
Third Piano Concerto.
Third Piano Concerto. R-A-C-M-I. There we go.
It's kind of long.
You know what station you're on. Where's the third concerto? Maybe we're going to start with Tom Waits.
Okay.
I'm going to take a little dig in there. All right. Well, you guys are my new best friends, and I appreciate you being here. How about we play Jockey Full of Bourbon? That's a good song, right?
Sure.
Everybody loves that song. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.